Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash!
Coming to you guys live from Cedar Grove, New Jersey at Time Warp Comics and Games. Hey everybody, my name is Steve. Welcome to Super Action Smash. That guy.
Jason.
Jason.
The me.
We're calling him the me. Is that the Miz?
It's nope, the me. Because he won't fight me.
Hashtag so. Fight me Miz. He still has not done it.
He won't respond.
He should. What's up with that?
I could have been his Mania match. Well, he's way more entertaining.
He's busy doing things. Busy man. He doesn't have time.
It's true.
To come to like WrestleMania. He's got time for that. Can't
own time.
So this is a show where we basically go through five news stories that we attempt to do. And as you can see, this is actual proof that we actually do have the news stories.
We have many of paper.
I've been told that I should be using an iPad instead of paper.
Really?
Yeah, because it's cooler if you have an iPad. I like to go old school.
It's so futuristic.
Yes. But then again, what if the batteries went out?
Like a space show.
Yes, we could talk about space.
I mean, we do.
You remember Space 1999?
I was never in space in 1999.
No! There was a show called Space
1999. Were you there?
I was there. I was in space.
Wow.
I was lost in space. Space 1999 was a show that was sort of in the Star Trek vein. Martin Landau and Barbara Bain were in it.
Oh.
They were from Mission Impossible.
Well.
And Martin Landau, you may remember.
Not Tom Cruise. He wore a lot of masks, are you sure?
Yes. It might have been.
He had tons of masks in.
I'm Tom Cruise.
Mission Impossible.
That's my impersonation of Tom Cruise.
I'm Tom Cruise. Except like 4 foot.
He's like this big.
Wee. He's a cute little darling.
Yeah, it was a strange movie that was set on the moon.
Oh.
And they had it was a British production.
Okay.
And it was a lot more
space adventure. British moon.
The moon had it was gone. The moon left, which of course would destroy Earth. But yeah. Who cares?
Tides. What are those?
And Martin Landau was in it, Barbara Bain, and they had this like weird alien chick in it. It was, you know, you could probably watch it on the YouTubers.
Oh.
Check the YouTubers.
Wow.
Look on the.
You know what else people can watch on
the
YouTube?
The Google Foot. What?
Super Action Smash.
Super Action Smash. We are on.
Did you know that?
YouTube first, and then every other thing that you could possibly watch on Roku. If you don't know what Roku is, it's a nice Italian meal. Yes, try. Really? So what do you say we get to our first story? But how the hell are you, by the way? You alright? How's your new hair doing? Are you keeping it short?
Seeping into my brain.
Alright. You gotta keep the hair short. You gotta keep it. The kids like the short hair.
I do. I've been told a lot that you looked like a horrible hobo.
A horrible hobo.
A disgusting mess. Thank God I can look at you, is what most strangers say.
It sounds personal. You had a problem?
Yeah.
People are just approaching you?
On a very personal level with most strangers.
Sometimes you have to be.
How do you meet friends if you can't talk to strangers? Go talk to strangers, kids.
Especially if there are vans with candy. Just walk up.
Most people don't know. That's the best spot to get candy.
Windowless vans are the best place to go.
It is free.
Yeah.
What is better than that?
And if you believe any of this, stop believing it. We're kidding.
Stop believing.
All right, so our first story. This is our first story.
Teach your
kids all the wrong things. Jumanji, a remake, has a new title.
Is it a remake, though? Is it? Because I heard some things that they really didn't want to say it was a remake. They got a lot of backlash from it.
The name it's going to is Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
And it's going to be like, we have fun and games.
They'll be doing this a lot.
For the entire time, it'll be playing very lowly the whole movie.
Axel is coming back. And this time he's a lot fatter.
He's going to play a board game. He is the board game.
He pretty much, you have to play the board game on Axel.
It's going to be like one of those things where you go to a restaurant and they have sushi on the person.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But they'll be playing Jumanji on Axel Rose's body.
Yeah. How do you get that job, by the way?
I don't know.
You should.
Just, I think if you show up, like dress for the job you want. So if you walk around
with sushi all over you. Call me.
You'll get it. It'll just happen.
That's all I'm saying.
How do you think people get discovered and they walk around New York? It's the same thing.
I think I saw a guy wearing sushi yesterday.
Yeah. He's probably gainfully employed.
Hopefully. He smelled.
Gainfully
employed. So the upcoming Jumanji reboot sequel remake is now in post-production and boasts a cast that includes Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Playing a human.
Playing Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Karen Gillan. Jack Black is in it, and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's going to be hyperkinetic and it's going to explode. Is what's going to happen. So much.
It looks pretty interesting.
The project has been fighting against the fact that the original movie is a cherished film for many, us included.
I mean, it's like prime childhood right there.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a cute movie. It was one of those like Spielberg-esque movies where everybody's always like looking up.
It was also terrifying. I don't know have you seen it recently?
I haven't. I have to rewatch it.
It's still scary.
Yeah.
There's that scene when they're in the attic, and he gets like caught in the floor because it becomes quicksand, and there's like spiders everywhere.
Yeah.
It's too much.
That's insane.
It's too much.
Kind of like the Willy Wonka thing where they're in the boat.
Yeah.
Remember that? Well,
that's my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah. Even as a kid, I was like, is this happening?
I want to go here, but I don't know if I'll come back.
No, wasn't Augustus like in the chocolate the second ago? What the hell happened?
Yo, it's a cannibalistic. It's a movie about cannibals.
Yeah. Once again, I got to remind you guys that we are hanging out in a comic book store. It's a live comic book store. And you're going to hear noises in the background. Don't worry about it.
People are real.
As it turns out, the new movie is doing a few different things. The focus this time, it's been revealed, will not be on an ancient board game.
No. What is it?
Well, at the heart of the story is the new version is a video game. Where the four leads
Atari?
Are... It could be.
I hope so.
Atari that's making a comeback. The four leads are avatars as such, representing four high school teenagers.
Yeah.
And said teenagers are in detention. So they're avatars representing four kids that are in detention. So basically it's Breakfast Club.
They're playing the game.
They find an old games console, and that's the Jumanji game. So essentially it's a reboot, which is like the biggest thing right now, reboots.
At least they're going to treat it a little differently. You know, it's kind of like they're getting sucked into a video game, which is pretty cool.
Hmm.
So it's what I'm wondering is, what I think might be a really funny point of contention is if, like, let's say, cause they haven't revealed who the four teenagers are yet.
No.
I would think it'd be really great if, like, they're all picking their characters, and, like, one of them, let's say, like, Jack Black, for instance, like... One of the young girls or whatever ends up picking Jack Black's character.
One of the young girls is Jack Black?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be hilarious if, like, you're playing with, like, gender opposites while they're trying to, like...
That'd be interesting.
...run from rhinos or something? It would be funny. It'd be a funny point of contention. Not that opposite genders are hilarious or anything.
We're not saying that, kids.
I'm not saying that.
Be who
I'm
you
saying,
are.
Go get candy from strangers.
Go to the windowless man.
Be who you want
to
be.
And get candies from strangers. And maybe even get a sex change while you're there.
Yeah, why not?
The hell?
You can get them all in the same place. A lot of people don't know that.
Nobody knows this. Whenever you get a sex change, free candy.
Windowless vans, dark alleys, the best place to get anything done.
Yeah, it's just... the whole reboot phenomenon is really big right now, to the point where even Kevin Smith is doing a Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I don't know if you know about this. That's their next thing where they're doing... Blunt Man v. Chronic. They're finding out they're making that movie, so they have to, like, go and stop it. So that's the movie coming up. So
it's essentially a sequel to Strike Back.
Pretty much, yeah.
But the same thing.
Just rebooted.
Nice.
So I guess that's his whole comment, you know. And the reboot phenomenon is, whereas it makes perfect business sense in the business of show. It does make perfect sense.
Money.
I don't...
So it makes sense.
As a writer, I don't like it because
C-E-N-T-S, sense.
It's sense. Thank you very much. You obviously want new things, but at the same time, you have to always remember that it's show business, and there are many seats to fill, and hopefully the creativity will happen within the reboot. You know, I mean, you know, Star Wars is a perfect example. I mean, yeah. You know, Force Awakens and Rogue One. I mean, they're awesome, awesome films. Yeah. But
it shows that you can reboot a franchise, but not by doing the same thing. You know, even though you can argue that Force Awakens was kind of the exact same thing as Episode 4, but it did it differently enough. You know what I mean?
They just blew up more planets.
Yeah. Which is all you need.
That's all you really need. Blow up a planet.
Yeah. The problem is that the people keep getting older, and then there's new people being young. What's that all about?
Well, speaking of Star Wars...
Speaking of...
We are now on number two. Number two. The
of 60.
Of six. We're doing 60... 60 stories. So settle in, kids. Have a cup of hot chocolate and... get your free candy.
Gird your loins.
Okay, yeah, I would like to have my loins girded.
I like that saying. I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Let's do that.
I feel like I'm using it contextually well.
You should. I think so.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Gertie Loins was my favorite character back in the 40s. Say that, Pally. I'm Gertie Loins. What do you say we go to the Who's Gal?
Superhero.
That's my agent. Tell him I'm not here.
Tell him I don't exist.
The Han Solo movie. We got some early plot hints.
Now, apparently, he's not Solo in the movie.
No.
What's the deal?
They're going to use a different name for him, I believe.
Harry Solo?
It's Harry Solo.
Harold Solo.
The character will be known by whatever his original name is in the early stages of the film. We don't know what that is just yet.
So you're saying Han Solo is a name he adopts, or it's given to him?
I guess I have to say yes.
Like a mega smuggler?
Yeah, it's like his code name.
I'm really hoping this is just Fast and Furious, but in space. He's just stealing space cars, trying to get pink slips or whatever.
His name is Vin Diesel. That's his original name.
Wow.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Snickers is back. I saw Snickers over there.
Oh, my.
Snickers is a dog. You'll see him. He'll probably come in front of us in a second.
And a candy bar.
We found him in a van. So, the Han Solo movie will spread over 6 years. Disney boss
confirms. It's a long film.
It's going to take 6 years to film.
6 years to watch.
Filming is well underway. Actually, it's going to be released in 2018, which is...
So far.
Next year.
It's the future.
It's the future.
All be real by then.
It could happen. This could really happen. We don't know what's going to... Millennium Falcons could be showing up over the sky.
It's a documentary.
It's basically, yeah. The Han Solo spin-off film will feature Alden Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich?
Smith.
Alden Ehrenreich?
In the lead role. You may have known him as Hobie from...
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar, if you saw that movie.
Coen Brothers film.
Awesome movie.
Coen Brothers.
So in the film, Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, said they're going to follow Han Solo over the course of 6 years of his life, from age 18 to 24. In that time, he'll be meeting Chewbacca for the first time, and he'll find out about the life debt, which is interesting, why they were bound together. Getting his name, how he gets the name Han Solo, and finding the Millennium Falcon.
Just finds it. I hope he steals it, and that's like the whole thing.
Well, there was a, you know, they're going back and forth, you know, with people where, and people always keep stealing the damn thing. You never know what's going to happen. You know, Lando Calrissian had it for a while, didn't he? Like, you know, he got it, or he either gave it, or he won it, or whatever.
It's the hottest ship in the biz.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It can do the, whatever the run
Kessel
is.
Kessel Run.
The Kessel Run, with 12 parsecs?
12 parsecs. Once again, we have...
You think they'll show that?
I think they have to.
Kind of have to, right? They talked about it for 8 movies.
I saw something on the web where a guy actually described how parsecs are measured, and how in space and time, that in the context of saying that during the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, that it made sense.
Oh.
So that's why it was such a big thing, because doing it, you know, it was done with more parsecs. So doing 12 was actually impressive.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go.
So it's it's just common knowledge.
Yeah.
That's how he's able to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because all this stuff took place many, many years ago.
We still don't know, a long time ago, far away. We still don't know if it's a future movie or if it's not.
It's all historical dramas.
Basically.
That's what I've been told.
I think the History Channel has picked up Star Wars. And we're going to find out. We're going to have Ken Burns present Star Wars, and it's going to be fun.
I would watch that.
You would watch that, yeah. Stormtroopers talk about how they miss their wives.
Yeah. I'd love, like, a David Attenborough, like, Planet Earth, but, like, on Kashyyyk, and it's just about Chewbacca. Like,
just
like,
Chewbacca.
Yeah, just Chewbacca. It's like, watch as the lonely Chewbacca picks the parasites out of his fur.
Yes.
And that's like, that's how Han does to get his.
That's
the life debt.
They're so friendly.
He pulls like a slug out of his hair or something.
Or
like,
storm?
Like bubble gum.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cuts it out of Chewie's mane.
And Chewie's like, sorry. are stormtroopers? Are they eunuchs?
Sure.
Do they?
There's nothing under that. That's why it's all just, it's like skin.
It's like Ken dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all Australian, apparently.
That's why they're all plastic.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, I never knew that. I mean, I think you need to go into more of the stormtroopers, you know, who they are, why they're there, why they have horrible aim, why they keep bumping their heads into things.
Those crazy helmets. See the tint on those?
It is hard to say.
They're wearing sunglasses inside at all times.
I'm surprised the cape, the space cops are not pulling them over.
Space is dark.
It's true.
I don't know if people know that.
That's why it's hard to shoot.
Yeah. Can't see. Trying to look too cool.
So on the other end of the spectrum, Adam Sandler fan, are you?
What year?
There was a time
when
we were all Adam Sandler fans, and some of us are. You know, here's the thing.
Unless you were born in, like, the year 2000, then I guess you could say you weren't an Adam Sandler fan.
He had, I mean, obviously, you know, he's a quadrillionaire, okay? If you look at
that's why he's so sad all the time.
He's always he's gotten angry.
He has so much money. He's so sad about it.
No idea what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know?
No clue.
Netflix. This is number three, if you're keeping score at home.
Netflix is this little indie business.
Have you heard of them?
Really small.
Yeah.
They stream TV shows?
I think I saw the Smurfs on one of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very small.
I can remember when I first found out about Netflix how the biggest thing was just the DVDs.
Yeah.
You know, you'd get these, like, DVDs.
You get them in the mail.
Yeah. You get them in the mail. There were never any late fees. And like, this is awesome. I can, like, watch it as often as I want and just send it back.
Killed Blockbuster.
Yeah. Well, I didn't work at Blockbuster. I worked in, like, three different video stores, and everybody knew that the clock was ticking, you know, on video stores. And then when it finally happened.
It's palpable.
Yeah. Wow. But then, like, you know, digital came along and just. I mean, I was doing it last night. I mean, like, we were like, what do you want to do tonight? And I was watch a movie. Where in the past, you had to get in your car, you had to drive to the video store, you had to walk around.
I love that, though.
Yeah. I enjoyed that, too. I miss it.
I went to Illinois about a year ago.
Illinois?
Yeah. It's just like, we were like...
Snickers? Calm down.
Hey. That candy bar is yelping. I went to Illinois and we went to Urbana, Champaign, Illinois.
I have no idea where that is.
This is just the middle of Illinois.
Okay.
But we were there and there was this, there was an actual movie store.
Wow.
And you could walk in and look around and pick stuff off the wall. I wanted to spend the entire vacation just there.
Nice.
And we went to Chicago. And does that, I love Chicago, but... God, it was so nostalgic in there.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to just think of as a kid. I was like, oh, look at this. It's just on the wall.
Yeah.
I can grab it. Yeah. It's mine. It's like you win a trophy.
Yeah, yeah. You need that feeling you had when you find a DVD that, like, nobody else found. Or you discovered it and you know it was fascinating.
Or you've been waiting for it and it's always out every time you go back.
Yeah.
And then the one time you're there, you're like, I'll go in. Yeah. It won't be there.
I like the direct-to-video things, like every Dolph Lundgren movie or Richard Grieco movie, you know, it's like, you know, Savage Vengeance or the
Ultimate Punch.
Ultimate Puppy Punch or something like that. It was,
wow,
it was awesome.
That's a dark film.
That was an awesome film. Ultimate Puppy Punch. Look it up on IMDb.
So speaking of...
So Adam Sandler signs up for 4 more Netflix movies.
I know. He
is so into it. He is so into it. Honestly, it's perfectly fine. We're a big fan of Snickers.
Can you believe this? Dogs don't even like Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler is now making a total of 8 films, at least, exclusively for Netflix. 2 new developments in the world of Adam Sandler. Firstly, he's about to become an even richer man. So that's the first one.
What's he going to do with it?
It's all the money. So far he had The Ridiculous 6, that was on that show. The Do-Over. Sandy Wexler, that's the upcoming one.
guess yeah. Daddy's taking him somewhere.
Where he plays a sad guy doing sad things.
Yeah. Sad. First time he's playing a character in a while. He's really good at playing characters. I was watching, what's the movie? I was watching Little Nicky last night.
Oh.
I like Little Nicky. It's
that's
an
where
insanely...
I feel like he took a turn in his career. Like, after that, it was just kind of like, wah.
Well, he's king of the high concept. It was hard for me to get through the do-over. Sorry to say, guys. I mean, I really wanted to like the movie, but it just wasn't working.
I watched Ridiculous 6. I wasn't really a fan of it.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Oh, the only thing I could think of the whole time was, why am I not watching Blazing Saddles?
Good point.
Because it's already done well.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He's a popular filmmaker. And
yeah.
When he is on, when he is right, he finds that right formula.
To get a groove, yeah.
You know, that you go, okay, I know this is like a film that anybody can enjoy, but you're tugging at the heartstrings in the right way. I mean, we're always going to go back to Wedding Singer. Wedding Singer is a film that I will always watch whenever it's on.
It's one
of
his best ones, yeah.
And then you sit back, and for the last act where he's, you know, racing to the airport, and you know he's going to get together with her.
Yes.
But you root for him again. And that moment when Billy Idol shows up, see, Billy Idol gets it, I don't know what it is. It's a feel-good, and I like to have
that movie.
Yeah, he does, you know? So what is it about Adam Sandler movies that you think you're on the fence about?
I don't know. I just think he needs to talk to Stella and figure out how to get his groove back, honestly.
Okay.
Because I think that's all it is for him.
Yeah.
I think he just... I don't think he feels it enough anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can like kind of see it in his eyes.
He seems angry these days.
Yeah.
Adam,
he either seems angry or depressed, like, and I'd love to pick his brain. Because what a career, right? Like, first of all, his whole life has just been like a cavalcade of great ideas and good opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's just what happened at one point.
Something happened, something turned, but, you know, a lot of the critics are always savaging him. And that can obviously hurt a person. No matter how rich you are, you know, he's making films. And I like how he approaches business. He creates his own group of people and works with those group
Happy
of people
Madison.
Over and over again. And gives us something new and exciting. Sometimes he fails, sometimes he doesn't, but it's all how it works out.
You know? I always thought he should have done more dramas. I mean, Punch Drunk Love was like one of the best things I've seen.
He tried. I mean, he tried for a while to get respectable, and I guess needed to like step back into it. You know, even if you watch, Don't Mess with the Zohan, that movie is actually very satirical if you look at the basis of it. There's a scene where the two groups.
A little hard to watch though.
I watch it because it's high concept, but at the same time, they're actually kind of telling a whole thing about the Palestinian-Israeli thing. So it's kind of like the stuff going back and forth. So they're trying to get a message through all the high concept. So
that's what their short shorts are for.
Yes, exactly. How do you do this? How do you know this? So four more movies when his current deal expires. Sandler has duly signed on dotted line. It means that Sony's 2015 release of Pixels is set to be his last major leading role in cinema. So essentially, he's going to make the major push over to Netflix and stay with them and do as many Netflix.
He's going to join the Netflix Marvel universe.
Okay, so what Marvel character do you think Adam Sandler should play?
Venom.
Wow, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Because it's right here. So this is number four, if you're keeping score. We're on our fourth story.
We did it.
Venom movie to be R-rated. And it's going to launch a brand new movie universe.
I'm excited about this news. I heard this news the other day.
Yeah. So
I got really jazzed about it. I was quite jazzed up.
Were you jazzed?
I was jazzed.
I can see that.
I was like Coltrane level jazzed about this. Yeah.
Well, not really a jazzy Jeff, but more of a Coltrane Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I understand. Sony is definitely pressing ahead with its Spider-Man spinoff cinematic universe. This is from Internet. Den of Geek.com.
The Internet.
They said they're going to have to come up with a different name for that, because we have the Marvel Cinema Universe, but then Sony is like the Spider-Man spin-off cinematic universe. Doesn't really fit really well. Yeah.
Did you hear about this? First of all, did you watch the Homecoming trailer? Spider-Man Homecoming
I watched both
trailer?
Of them. Yeah, new one's out.
Yeah, the one from yesterday?
Yeah.
What did you think of it? Thoughts? Thoughts?
I like the first one better.
Yeah, for a trailer?
For a trailer.
I thought the second one dropped a lot.
The second one was a lot of information.
A little too much.
And I felt like I saw the movie.
Yeah.
So
I still want to see the movie, but I feel like I kind of already saw the movie.
They focus more on Vulture. which is good. And,
cool. They haven't seen him yet.
They call
in
him
any
a dark, a dark Iron Man.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. The whole Peter Parker, you know, wacky sidekick kid. He has like his wacky friend, but I think has ever been. I think actually he has been. He has been in previous. They kind of like brought him out of the cobwebs. That wacky sidekick friend of his. It's interesting how they're kind of reinventing Spider-Man to make Iron Man his mentor, which I never expected.
Well, he does give him. I mean, in the comics, he gives him the Iron Spider armor.
Okay.
You ever seen that? It's the golden red armor with the little. He's got like spider legs on the back. It's really cool. I don't know if they'll probably ever get to it in the films, but.
Well, in this one, they're making the whole thing of the suit does not make the man. So whereas it makes sense in the MCU, where you know Tony Stark has been going through this whole thing, and now he has to teach that to. You know, to Peter Parker.
Yeah,
it's interesting. You know, once you get past the fact that, because being comic book nerds, you're like, it's not the way the comic book is. You know, you have to get over that sometimes. If it's done right, then I'm cool with it.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's all fiction.
Good point. It's not a documentary, like you said. Yeah, yeah.
You can't really hold stuff to such high regard at all the time.
It's
not
really happening.
It's not real.
So Sony and Marvel are working together on the Spider-Man specific movies going forward. Sony still has the movie rights to Spider-Man for the purposes of its current plans. Hundreds of other characters that Spider-Man has encountered on the big screen, so they have that entire universe. Sony, as part of the deal, can use all that. It clearly intends to take advantage of that with its cinematic universe.
Yeah.
That'll be separate from the Marvel cinematic universe.
Yeah, that's what's really interesting.
So, you know, like, you know, Deadpool and Logan, the whole X-Men thing. That's
all
know,
kind
other
of
people. It's all separate, you know, Sony. So. It's like Sony and Fox, and you know the MCU. They're all kind of living in this like alternate universes. So it's interesting, and I think Spider-Man kind of needs to have his own world.
I think it's really interesting that I was reading about the Venom thing, and they were talking about the direction they want to go for Venom is sci-fi horror.
Which okay,
I think is super cool. I think it could work really well.
Yeah,
sci-fi horror is really big right now. You got movies like Life coming out. You have New Alien coming out soon.
Yeah.
They're all supposed to be awesome.
17 Avatar.
17 sequels. Avatar movies. Our best friend, Jimmy Camps.
Just
killing it.
Who will be on our show one day.
I really hope so.
He's going to fight The Miz.
Pick his brain. We're going to go down in a submarine, do an interview.
Pretty much.
But yeah.
Three of us just a little cute.
Sci-fi horror. How cool would that be for Venom? And I think also the casting of, if they do Eddie Brock, who knows? Who are they going to pick for Venom? What story are they going to go to?
It's going
to
be you.
Oh, my God. I would lose my mind if I was Venom.
You could do it.
I don't think I look like any of the comic Venoms, like the actual guys, but...
Who could I be?
You could be... Good Rhino?
I could be a Rhino.
Yeah, why not, right?
I could do Rhino.
It's cool. Yeah. They did, like, that whole, like, mech suit Rhino in the last one.
Yeah.
But you could just be the regular Rhino. Scorpion? Huh?
I could be Scorpion.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Strangio Man.
Whoa.
That'll be me. I'll invent my whole new character.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does he do?
He's just funny. I mean, he makes people laugh, and that disarms them. Have you heard that phrase? You are disarming?
I get it.
That'll be my superpower.
I hear that all the time.
You are so disarming.
All right. For me now.
We're on the last.
No.
The last.
No, make it stop.
We can do it.
No. I know what.
Escape from New York remake gets a director. Who do you think it is? I think you already know who it is. We're going to tell
I
them.
Know. Right?
It's Robert Rodriguez.
I think I would be mad if it was anybody else.
I'm with you there, because Escape from New York is near and dear to me. Because as you may have noticed, it says Antonio here. I'm wearing my dad's work shirt. My dad passed away a few years ago. That was, I didn't go to a lot of movies with my father. I went to Escape from New York with my father. He didn't get it. He said, "Hey, this movie's too dark." And like I thought,
it takes place at night.
It's like, you're right, Dad. It's
literal
like,
dark.
It really is a dark. And I was like, no, I can't see anything. And so I was like, Dad, it takes place at night. Of course it's dark. But it was funny because, you know, so that movie is near and dear to me.
Love that movie. John Carpenter is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
I'm so obsessed with John Carpenter movies. Mm. And Kurt Russell is like one of my biggest idols. I wish I could just be Kurt Russell so bad.
Kurt Russell, who will be playing E.O. the Living Planet in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I know, crazy.
It's going to be awesome. Star-Lord's dad. So, beloved 1980s cult classics are continuing to reappear on the 21st century landscape. So, we've had, like, Terminator Genesis. We had Predators. We had The Alien and Thing. sequels. So this is a full-on remake. Yeah. Let's see here, yada, yada, yada. Robert Rodriguez is going to be doing it. It's going to be, let's see here, James Cameron. So there are no details yet on the what the story is going to be. But obviously we know what the story is. And Snake Plissken, yep. 1981 film, you know, the president is shot down over Manhattan, which has become one big,
giant prison.
Maximum security prison. There are certain parts of New York which still kind of reminiscent of that. Have you ever been to New York in a while? But with Robert Rodriguez at the helm, it's going to be awesome because he understands the source material.
Yeah. You know, he appreciates it.
Yeah. Fan of Robert Rodriguez, are you?
I am, yeah.
I love El Rey Network. Have you seen El Rey Network?
I've been watching a lot of Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground, yeah.
And
yeah.
I cannot recommend it enough. Anyone who likes wrestling, please watch Lucha Underground.
Coming to Netflix, which I understand.
On Netflix, right now.
It's on right now?
They have two seasons on there. There's about 50 episodes.
I gotta go.
Like 60 hours of content, which is nuts.
I didn't know it was already on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm watching that later
more, apparently.
Because I'd watch it on YouTube, illegally. People are posting episodes of it on there.
Well, yeah. Now you can watch it on Netflix. It's amazing. It's like all I've been doing. It's the best.
Feel good about myself. Yeah, I think Robert Rodriguez definitely has the visual style needed if they're going to remake Escape from New York and do it right. Escape from L.A.
It's fun. It's not the best.
Even though Bruce Campbell was in it as a demented plastic surgeon, I was still kind of on the fence about it.
He surfs. So, I mean, let's...
Yeah, that was a little wacky.
That's the wackiest part of the movie, honestly, I think.
Big fan of the comic book series, though. Snake Plissken had his own comic book series.
It's true, they did do a comic book about it.
I think they also had Jack from Big Trouble Little China teaming up with Snake Plissken in something. And that was kind of an awesome thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Mix all the characters together. Why not?
What are you looking forward to most in the remake? What do you want to happen in the Escape from New York remake?
What I want to happen is I want Kurt Russell to play the president.
Oh, okay. That'd
be awesome. As an homage. Yeah. I think it'd be great. President's not a super pivotal role in the movie. I mean, if you're going off of the first one, he wasn't really in it too much.
Yeah, yeah.
But Donald Pleasence played the president the first
Donald
one?
Donald Pleasence? Donald Pleasence, yeah. Played the and he had a really, just like, really bad American accent.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the ending of the movie because, alright, so he was carrying this thing, Nuclear Secrets or whatever it was, these secrets, on a cassette tape. So then he goes onto national television and said, and so he's going to give out all the secrets on the tape. I didn't understand, but then it was cool watching, like, you know, if you spoiler, if you haven't seen it, you know, Snake Plissken has...
20-year spoiler.
Yeah, he has a tape, and he gave him the wrong tape. He gave him Cabby's swing music.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Snake Plissken, like, you know, pulling the tape apart. But then again, why would the president release all these top nuclear secrets in hopes of getting these nations? I didn't understand that
part. Rodriguez will clean it up.
Hopefully there'll be an answer to that.
There'll be vampires in it.
Vampires, sure. It was... The whole thing about John Carpenter's version was that it was cool.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it's awesome.
It was seeping in his style, which you can find in all of his movies. Because he does the music, too, which I think really sets the tone in a lot of his films.
Ba-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da. That's all he did.
I think he's such a good composer. He has like five notes, but I wanted to go to his concert a couple years
ago. I've had a Casio. I could do that.
Ah.
You know.
Why aren't you?
Good point.
Somebody buy us a Casio.
Somebody buy us a Casio. So I'm not discounting John Carpenter. He's an awesome one. They Live, one of my personal favorite movies in the history of mankind. So,
The Thing is my favorite movie. John Carpenter's The Thing.
My friend Rob would agree with you on that one.
Nothing
gets
it in my eye.
But Robert Rodriguez has the coolness vibe. He understands what makes cool, and the fact that, you know, he did all the Sin City stuff with Frank Miller, and he's a very giving director because he actually gave up, like, you know, half of directing chores to Frank Miller to make his vision come to life. So I think Robert Rodriguez understands, when you have source material, how you pay homage to it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah! So that's it, guys. That's the show.
What?
We keep changing the location of where we shoot it. All depending on if we have a camera person or not. Today we didn't, but it's just two of us, so we're hanging out.
Yeah.
We're hanging out here at Time War Comics and Games in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. And you can always come down here and hang out with us. We do shows here as well. We're going to be doing a new comic book day, if you want to watch on the Facebook page.
Oh-ho!
Thanks for coming down. Sure. We're in a live comic book store, as you can see. So, thanks for hanging out with us, folks, for Super Action Smash That.
Jason Brown.
And I'm Steve Strangio.
Hey.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Super Action Smash. 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 Superheroes kicking ass. Super Action Smash.